Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association and Black Belt Wall Street, speaking to you live from Washington, D.C., and Black Belt Wall, New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. And again, speaking to you live from Washington, D.C., I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, and along with my co-host,
Abdulaziz Shaheed, and greetings, and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Bilal.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Aziz. How are you this evening?
Oh, alhamdulillah, everything is good. Looking forward to the show tonight. A lot going on in America nowadays, especially in the business world.
Yes, indeed. So, and of course, you know, after tonight's show, you and I will be taking a vacation until July the 15th. And we will be back in the air once we take a small vacation. Other than that, Brother Aziz, we're going to continue our talk tonight. And tonight, of course, we are continuing our talk on the natural disasters that is going to happen, that is going to occur. And I guess the question is, with the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street, is how do you prepare for the disaster? Are you preparing for the disaster? Are you prepared for the disaster? And then how do you recover after the disaster? So that is going to be a continuing a topic for us for a while, because this topic is just too important, because this is not a topic of business and become vested with each other. This is the topic of saving lives, because we know, and our teacher who will be coming on in a few, to she will be taking being our major speaker. But at the same time, we also know that, well, before I go any further with the disasters, those of you who are on your websites and are listening to us from your computers, those, if you would like to join us live, you can call 657-383-1372. Again, 657-383-1372. And you will be able to participate with us live. And, of course, those of you who wish to go online, again, blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. Again, blogtalkradio.com/NABASSC/URL. And, of course, if you wish to send an email to our association, just send it to New Africa Business Association @gmail.com. New Africa Business Association and Business New Africa, New Africa, more or less BA. You don't have to spell out the whole business association. You can just say New Africa BA @gmail.com. So reaching us again on email, newafricaba@gmail.com. So with that said, we're going to give our audience a chance to come on. We don't want them to miss a word that our dear sister have to say. Therefore, we will switch over to, let's see, Oklahoma. Look like we have Sister Williams with us. Sister Williams, a good evening to you. Sister Williams, are you with us?
I think she's trying to connect.
Okay, I think I have somebody there from Oklahoma. Who are we speaking to from that wonderful state?
Dash, how you doing?
Hey, that's my beautiful niece. The other Joy. How you doing,
love? I think she's trying to connect now. Let me go check on her.
Hold on just a second. Well, listen, having you is just about as good. So you just hang in there with us. And I think we'll work it all out. So just stay with us. And like I said, we want to look like somebody's giving us a greeting. Let me see if that's true. But again, we're opening our mics as you call in. So we will be opening our mics for open conversations right after Sister Aisha finish her conversations. But again, brothers and sisters.
Let me say good evening and assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters.
Now we have Sister Joyce on. How you doing? We have your daughter on the other end.
Okay.
We got the family.
We got two participations
tonight because we got two Joyces.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
y'all
man.
Made her get on this call.
And both of them can both give great input. I know. I've been working with them, especially Lil Joyce, ever since she was born. So, again, my brothers and sisters, I don't want to take anything away from the seriousness of our show because, as you know, our training programs are about to come up. And but look like our calls are coming right on in, so I'm not going to have to generalize very long. Brother Aziz, I am going to give you a chance to make your regular opening comments. And we'll go directly to our guest.
Oh, yes. Greetings. I just wanted to say, Brother Bilal, that we got a lot going on today in America. And with these congressional hearings and things going on about the former president and people wanting to testify, it's got a lot of people confused. But this is a good time for our people to pay attention to what's going on, but this is a great time, more than ever, for us to come together in terms of collectively, preferably, but individually if necessary, to put buy these businesses, get businesses in our neighborhood, buy up vacant businesses in our neighborhood, put a business there, something that we may not have or whatever. I just feel that there's opportunities galore now, Brother Bilal, especially just like with our guest speaker, Sister Aisha, with the opportunities that have come with teaching about disaster prevention and recovering after you have a disaster. Man, that's major. That's almost like getting burned out of your house, getting burned down. And what do you do after your house gets burned down? What do you do? How do you recover from something like that? Did you prepare? Did you get the things necessary in case insurance? And this is what our speaker gave to us last week, some of that, and will continue giving us. How do you prepare for this? And when you prepare, what are you preparing for? Because we got all kind of disasters could take place. So I just wanted to encourage any of our listeners that's listening that the program that we're having put on for our Sister Aisha Ali, is a excellent program that will teach us as a community of people how to survive. Because it's better to survive as a community than individually. So I'm looking forward to that, Brother Bilal, as well as any of our listeners that's not a member of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Association. We need some memberships to keep this program running like it is, because you, the people that are listening to us, we're hoping you're benefiting from it. You're benefiting from us, and we're benefiting from you by listening to the people that we have that come on our program, as Brother Bilal says. We got all kind of members in our association that can provide the kind of guidance and leadership you have when it comes to business. Lawyers, accountants, marketeers, financial planners, as Brother Lyle is. So become a member of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Association, and you'll be helping yourself move ahead. And that's all I had to say for now, Brother Bilal, and thank you for letting me have something to say there, brother, because I know our guests are more important than us saying what we say constantly, and we're going to continue to say that. But thank you again.
And like I was saying, brothers and sisters, we have a two-hour program, so we will hopefully give everybody a chance to give comments. But before we open up the mics to everyone, let's go to and see if we are prepared to if we are prepared for the disasters that we know that are coming, and let's go and see if we are prepared for the recoveries of the disaster after it comes. So with that preparedness and wanting to know if we have that preparedness and seeing if we have that preparedness, I am going to turn it over to our expert now, Sister Aisha out of North Carolina. Sister Aisha, welcome to the show, and we're going to turn the show over to you.
Thank you very much. Can you all hear me well?
Yes,
ma'am.
Salaam alaikum to all. Everyone online,
and thank you
again for having me. As always, it seems like my life is centered around the whole concept of disaster preparedness and getting our people and all of America ready for the disasters. We know they are coming. I was telling my daughter earlier today that in the Holy Quran, there are over 13 surahs that mention past disasters and future disasters. And I'm sure, I don't know, and maybe some of our Christian friends can tell us, I'm sure in the scriptures, in the Bible, those storms are also mentioned. So there is no denying that disasters are going to come. And we are, many of us are people of faith. We are educated people, and it's incumbent upon us to prepare ourselves. And this is what we do. We prepare, and we'll talk to prepare. Part of preparedness is belief. So this is what we have to do. I was reading recently, you know, every day my life is centered around studies, research, surveys, and this sort of thing, and responding to comments from federal agencies and from community groups and from individuals. And I noticed that we're in this arena of disaster preparedness at the right time. It's incumbent upon our community as people, as we are classified now as underserved population, and we have been underserved ever since we've been in this country, the underserved population, that we organize ourselves as a collective so we can start receiving some of the benefits and more of the benefits that our tax dollars put in disaster preparedness and recovery. And as I had stated, that since 1980, the U.S. government has appropriated $1.875 trillion, 1.875 $1.75 trillion to disaster recovery and preparedness. Now, up from 1980 all the way to 2020, that's a lot of money. And so we have to become diligent and work within our states and work within our geographical regions to find out how the individuals who are in position to disperse those funds, how they are dispersing those funds. We also have to get ourselves at the table to make decisions on the disbursement of those funds. We have to become active participants in decision making, and that's going to be expressed through our action. And we can do that. We can do it because of the direction that we are now going in. If we, the federal government and research studies galore have constantly said that preparedness is the first step to survival for the families and for the communities. After preparedness, pre-disaster preparedness, then you have the recovery part. But the preparedness is the key. It helps to minimize the cost of recovery. It helps to sustain the family. It helps to empower the family to make decisions and understand this new environment that we live in. And it will cause each one of us to become more aware, consciously aware of what's going on in our environment. This is a new adaptation for us, although we're used to adapting, and I said that before because I don't think there's too many people on the face of the earth other than the African Americans who have had to adapt. We've been adapting ever since we've been in North America. But this is a period of time where we're going to have to make some changes in our lives. We're going to have to do things differently. And some of the old habits that we had and some of the old foundations that we have had in the past, many of them are going to crumble. But as they crumble, we have got to stay diligent and continue with preparedness. So we're going to start the training, God willing, on July the 6th. And you have on your flyer the entire schedule for the month of July. July is the first month. Then we're going to have August, September, October, all the way to the end of the year. And then we're going to start all over again. When we start all over again, we're going to be doing some things a little differently because hopefully many of you are going to be, we're going to be able to identify many of you, and you're going to, many of you are going to come forward and identify yourself as leaders in this arena of this new life that we're going into. And as leaders, we need as many people to take leadership positions. And those are the people that will be at the table when the funds are received by the environmental managers in their region. And you will be able to do it because you will be prepared. Preparedness is the acquisition of knowledge as well as action. You have to have the knowledge. And I have to say that there's nothing difficult about this. It's knowing where to go and the right time to go to sit with the people who are making decisions on allocation of funds. And please, you all, stop me at any time. Ask me a question. Because when I hear from you all, it makes me think, and if I don't know the answer, I'll go back and try to research and find the answer for you, okay? But one of the pieces of information that came across my desk today is that natural disasters force 26 million people into poverty every year. That's an alarming number. One season of natural disaster forces, and it says forces, because it is a force, 26 million people into poverty every year. And that could be any of us. But however, every agency and just about every university and report and survey that have looked at preparedness have said preparedness is the key. The basic steps of awareness, conscious awareness, planning, and readiness, and following up are the basic steps to take to prepare yourself, to protect your family, your community, and have the knowledge base to sit at the table to make decisions on the allocation and the utilization of financial resources that will come into each one of our communities. And this is the position that we want to be in. Also, I realized that another study that was released recently by FEMA and another agency also released the same study said that 70 to 80% of minorities are unprepared for a disaster. Let me repeat that. 70 to 80% of minorities are unprepared for a disaster. That, too, is very alarming. And it's not, we're not unprepared because we don't know that a storm is coming or that a storm has been broadcast or we have heard about it on the news. We know these things, so we are aware. But our awareness has not translated into taking action. It has not translated into taking action. And that's what we have to do. Although I constantly remind our listening audience about the studies and the research that takes place, and the reason I do that is because when we have an understanding that our actions and the things that we're going to do to become prepared are in compliance with the agencies that have the financial resources allocated to them, the easier it is for us to sit at the table. We're not bucking the system now. We are active participants, and everybody, regardless of the color of your skin, is affected by natural disaster. So the agencies who are responsible for the allocation of the resources, these are the people that we want to be sitting down with, and we want to be included in those decision-making, in the decision-making of the funds. We want the funds to come into our communities, and we are the ones that are going to be out there in the communities with the preparedness initiative. If we're the ones that are out there in the communities with this initiative, then we better understand the temperament of the community, the needs of the community, and the risk within the community, the vulnerabilities in the community, and how to allocate the funds in certain programs that will benefit us. Now, we want to do this as a collective. If we do try to do it as an individual or individual organization or individual company, it will not work because we have the best resources now to go after this collectively. Wells Fargo stated in 2021 that 71% of Americans admit they don't have a detailed emergency plan in the event of a natural disaster. 71% of Americans have admitted that they don't have, this is of the ones that were surveyed, and it was over 2,000 people surveyed. But 71% admitted that they do not have a detailed emergency plan in the event of a natural disaster. That too is alarming. And people are shying away because they're afraid. They're afraid of the reality of what they actually see right before them. But we can do better than that. And also, this is alarming because 2013, since 2013, preparedness has only increased by 2%. And this is a recent study. So from 2013 up into 2021, the rate of preparedness within the society has only seen a 2% increase. So this is alarming. And the agencies that have spent $1.875 trillion should be called out and put on notice. And a lot of the funds were donated, were contributed to to preparedness. And the bulk of all resources that are allocated to recovery. But it's the preparedness part that helped decrease the amount that has to be allocated to recovery. So before I go further, let me hear from some of you all your comments and your opinions about the direction that we're going in.
Our mics are open, everybody. If you can hear Sister Aisha, and Sister Aisha can hear you. All mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Yes, ma'am. Good evening, everyone. Sister Aisha.
Good evening.
I was able to go to that Zoom call this afternoon for the Resilient Nation Partnership Network.
Good.
And I was able to get a lot of information. And maybe when you get ready for a break, I'll come on and make the report, and then you can maybe fill in some of the gaps to maybe enlighten us a little more on what I'll be talking about. So,
well, go ahead. Why don't you go now, and we can finish the conversation, and we can bring out some of those points of that Resilience Nation. Tell them what the Resilience Nation is and how you were able to be a part of that, and then some of the discussion that was held today.
Yes, ma'am. The Resilient Nation is a partnership network with people like you were speaking of. Well, they didn't break it down and say the 10 regions, but they did mention the various parts of the country and to include the United States, but like Guam, the Virgin Islands, and other places. So they cover a huge territory. And they partnership with, in addition to FEMA and governmental agencies, but they also partnership with other private as well as public agencies to make these decisions. But today, the topic of discussion was building alliances for climate action resources. In other words, they're looking at the extreme heat and how this extreme heat is affecting us. And the attendees, those of us who were there, we were broken down into four breakout sessions. And they focused on the four areas were extreme heat, for housing concerns. And then they looked at multifamily, extreme heat issues. Single, number three was single family homes and community centers, places like the YMCA, youth centers, places like that where a public or where the community go for activities and different things. Then number four was local planning and capital improvement. And the discussions, they focused on the objectives that had to be met in order to participate, include like low income to moderate income families, distressed areas, street level concerns. And I thought that was very interesting. You know, to me, it doesn't seem like they left any stones unturned. The only thing that's missing is us.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we learn how to access this stuff, we are going to be in a much, much better position. And Sister Aisha, I just want to thank the Lord for sending you in our direction. Mm-hmm. But also, one consideration for that population, they looked into what they call, and I don't know if you're familiar with these or not, but they're called cooling umbrellas as a method of relief for, like, people on the streets. So, you know, that was something they were considering. And that must meet at least one, just one objective in order to seek assistance from them, just one of their objectives. And then they have linked resources for, like, HHS, which is Health and Human Services, and other community services like energy assistance programs. You know, resources also available. They have resources from HUD. I mean, like you were saying earlier in the weeks before during your lectures, just how many agencies are involved in this. And they address the role utilities play. Like, for instance, in the state of Arizona right now, what they're doing to break down the assistance for the heat there is that they've established like a moratorium on their utility department for their electric bills for this time of year. And they're also looking at the silo operations and how they can utilize the silos for just everyday dwelling, like the people, like everyday people in homes. It was a very interesting afternoon, and they also had this thing called a MITRE board, where you can go in and you can access information as it may pertain to what you're looking for. You know, you just read the we call them message boards, but I guess you can identify it however you like, but that's what we're both familiar with. But anyway, you go to the MITRE board, and you see what you would like to, I guess, take out for whatever it is that you're researching in terms of assistance for the project that you're working on. And like I said, they were broken down into four different areas. Now, I went into the one that was labeled the energy and single-family homes. But at the end, at the close of the session, they enabled each of us to come back in, into the group, wherein we heard what each of the other three, like for instance, if I was in room session one, then I don't necessarily know what's going on in two, three, and four. But what they did, they brought us all back in as a group, and then they did like a summary of what was discussed in the other three areas where you were in attendance. So I found it to be very helpful, very enlightening, and they will be having their next meeting, just a second, their next meeting will be July 27th. And at that time, they will be having what a panel discussion that we can all, you know, be involved in. So I just wanted to let you know to thank you, first of all, for asking me to attend. And it was very enlightening. And I was able to get many, many notes. And they had several people from various agencies, like I said, who were on there to assist us. So I thank you for your time. And brothers and sisters, I'd like to say that I thank God for sending Sister Aisha in our direction, because we do not want to be a part of that 2%.
No.
So I thank you, and again, I'll turn the mic back over.
Okay.
So Sister Joyce, do you see yourself continuing on this track of learning about disaster relief and being a major player, leader for
your
community?
Well, Sister Aisha, I'll ask you like this. I look forward to July 16th, and I surely plan to be on this next PRN thingy. I sure plan to be on that on the 27th. So, to answer your question, I'm delighted to have met you, even if not directly, indirectly.
Well, you know, go ahead,
and Sister
brother.
Sister Aisha, I just wanted to mention, piggybacking on what Sister Joyce is saying, for the next meeting is July the 27th. Your session, your next training session will be the 26th of July. That will be your fourth training session. So
yes.
just think on July the 26th, the day before Miss Williams go to the next meeting, think of how advanced in the knowledge we will have at that time, and then how the information that we're collecting, especially from experts like Miss Williams and others who are bringing us reports, just think how advanced we will be, how knowledgeable we will be. Right now, we know this is we're getting a feel for what we're about to enter into, but at some point we will be very knowledgeable about what we have into, and we will have an advanced knowledge. So again, I wanted to just share that on the 26th, we will have four session training before Miss Williams go back into that meeting on the 27th. I just wanted to share that so we wouldn't forget.
Brother Aziz. I was going to ask Sister Aisha, when you mentioned about taking the leadership roles in this effort and that, could you tell our viewers how this could be some opportunities for them to, you know, to have jobs doing this or get paid for doing this?
Yes. Sister, I will answer that question. But Sister Joyce, thank you so much for attending that alliance. And the reason it was so important for her to attend so she could be included. Now, since you have registered for that particular meeting, you will receive all of the emails on the Alliance Network, and that's extremely important. Your name will be there, and your recognition will be there. And this is, Brother Aziz, this is how it begins for us. Okay. The alliance is what it says. It's a partnership of agencies and nonprofits and for-profits and community-based organizations throughout the country that's led by FEMA, NOAA, and the other organizations, government organizations. But this is where it began. And as a result, Sister Joyce, what city are you in? What state are you in?
Oklahoma.
Sister Joyce. You in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. So you're going to continue on this journey of educating yourself and being connected. And by you being connected, of course, you're in Region 6. And you're in Tornado Alley, which Region 6 is going to get a lot of resources this year. You're going to get a lot of resources in that region. And you will know exactly who you need to contact with their telephone number and with their title, job titles. And when you contact them, and you're going to know this is because all of this is going to be under resources in our website. And then, of course, we're just sending it out to you. But when you do contact them, your name is going to be recognized because what they do, when you contact them, and if you say you're a part of the alliance, they're going to do a quick search. They always do that, okay, to make sure that you are, in fact, a part of the alliance. And you will get a different response. Just that one effort that you have taken, you're going to get a different response from them. You're going to continue, by the grace of God, to go to these other groups, and you're going to be a participant. You're going to voice your opinion. And you're going to put questions in the chat. You're going to get known.
Yes.
And by you becoming known in the community of organizations and federal agencies, you'll be able to speak for your region.
Yep.
Your region rep is what, Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas. You'll be able to speak for your region. Because you, as a community member, you're doing something that most community members are not doing. They're not in touch. They don't have the network. And this is what we want to do, is build that network.
Yes.
And when the funds, and I have to say that in August, there's a big grant that's closing out. And it's a grant of $1.2 million for each one of the regions throughout the country. And that's a small grant now. We know that. But it is a preparedness mitigation grant. And that's exactly what we're talking about, right, with the preparedness training.
Yes. All right.
But I'm saying, of course, today we made contact with the agency, the federal agency, to make sure that they send us information beyond what's published, okay, because they always wait until a few weeks before the grant closes out and then they publish it. If you don't have time to put your stuff together. But, Sister Joyce, you will have the information where you can call these offices. And you can let them know you are a member of the alliance, and you will probably be a member of other portions that I will send you information on. And you will be propelled, just like many other people, hopefully the ones who are going to come to the training, you'll be propelled to take a leadership position in your region, not just in Oklahoma, but in your entire region. Okay, and those are the jobs. The grants will expedite the jobs continuously, not just for one person, but for many individuals.
Yes.
And I only know of one organization in the federal government, and that's the National Institute of Mental Health, who use the terminology grassroots community leaders. They use that terminology. You know, that's an old terminology, right?
Yes.
But they are using it. And they have said, and I just read their report, they have said that past successes in the society have been made through the efforts and the participation and the utilization of grassroots community leadership, including faith-based, political, community-based organizations. So things are coming around full circle for us as African-American people.
I believe
And I'm very proud and very happy that you went through that webinar today, and there will be positions in the future. But we want positions in the future, not like in the past, where we were so dependent on getting grants based on the whims of a small group. And so we got small grants because we were not at the table during those days. Only maybe a few, but the knowledge was different. Now, with climate change and disaster relief and preparedness, this is a whole new ball game. And everybody is starting at the same level, and that is the level of getting prepared. And if we individually are not prepared, we have no voice. But when you walk into the room, sister, you're going to say, yes, I am 100% prepared, not 30% or 20%. I am 100% prepared. And then they're going to say to you, how are you prepared? And you are going to be prepared based on the guidelines of preparedness that FEMA, who is the number one agency for the disbursement of funds in the country, okay, they get it from Congress, and it come, and then they disperse it to other sources, right? We all are being prepared based on the guidelines that they have set up, because they are good guidelines and they are good standards. So there's no question. There's no question on your knowledge base and your validity. And so you can speak the same language as they speak. And this is what we want many, hundreds of other people from our community to have this knowledge. And since you are in our group, you have a head start, then you'll be able to train other people. And that's where the jobs are for the future. That's one of the levels for the jobs of the future. Mm-hmm. And we will be, and over the weeks, we're going to talk about where there are other jobs for the future.
Very good.
Okay.
Great.
Brother Aziz, did that answer your question?
Yeah, yes, Sister Aisha. Thank you. That was clear and very good there.
Okay. Very good. But this is right. This is where we have to go. Now, Sister Joyce, you know, in Region 6, not only are you in Tornado Alley, which I said last week, you're going to have those severe storms and hurricanes and, of course, fires and tornadoes.
Yes.
So these are, and you're going to know all of that information because this is public information, nothing that I am saying to anyone on the radio or at any time is not public information, and it can be acquired. But the worst part about this is the language is so bad. The language is not people-friendly, and it's scattered all over the Internet. stuck under this and that and that. And I'm just wondering, is there a conspiracy to keep the people away from the knowledge base of what's going on?
Yep.
Because the way
great
it's presented. Yeah.
Great
and we are an educated population of people. But regardless of that, we are all like getting started.
Well,
but
since
we know now. Yes.
I would like to say that I was happy and proud to be in attendance today, because when we looked at the attendees, they didn't too many look like me. I had seen one or two brothers, but I don't recall a sister at all. But that's okay because now that we know the process, and like you were saying, they are looking at things and looking at case studies from around the country. They're looking at supply, food, electricity, how heat impacts our lives, and also how to get our messaging from government to those that most needed. And that's what you were talking about a few moments ago. And then the roles of existing programs, community-driven institutions, emergency response due to risk of heat index operations. There's so many, many, many things out there, brothers and sisters, that we don't necessarily, like you said, we have to get the terminology down. We have to, when we go off in there looking good, we got to be good. Because, they're gonna expect us to hem and haw. But when we get up in there, honey, we'll handle our situation. So yes, ma'am.
And
I'm happy.
And in the class we're gonna talk about vocabulary. Because this is, you're absolutely right. We have to have the language. And there are only about 10 no more than about 15 words that is being used throughout this climate disaster, and you'll be amazed. And they use the same words over and over again, but those words have not been a part of our vocabulary, and we certainly are not taught them in school. Okay. So, and some of these words are made up based on the reality of the climate. So that we're going to talk about all of that, and we're going to talk about how we need other people coming forth from the training and recognize that they have just the very first class of this training, and this is the first series. Next year will be a second series, okay? And even for people who want to go even further into this this career, all right? But this is where we are going, and this is the direction that we are taking. And I can't stress enough to Brother Bynum and Brother Aziz, thank you for penetrating the network of people. You all have the network. You can, your presence along and your work throughout all of these years, you have created these relationships of people who trust you, who believe what you say, and this is what we need. So, yes, we're going all over the country by the grace of Allah, because we are all over the country.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why we should not. Okay?
Yeah. Sister Aisha, I just want to make a point, if I might, and that is, and Director Williams, my sister from out of Oklahoma, you see, I'm proud, I've always been proud. I told you she was a smart girl, all that laughing behind that laughing. I know how she is behind that laughing. I've been dealing with it all my life. But she is an example of what we're saying as far as the urgency. And we got a We got a reply back from Sister Fajima, who many of you know is the head and the creator of Study El Islam. She just
Sister Fitra, I'm sorry, I mispronounced the name.
But Sister Fitra, she just got information on what we were doing today. And she immediately sent me an email back telling me the urgency of what we know we're doing. But she actually picked it up just like that. And she, without hesitation, and like Sister Aisha was just saying, she has connections, and we have connections all over the country. But her connections are big network connections. And she worked with us, and she is glad to work with us. So that's the kind of momentum that we're getting. But to hear from my sister, who have already looked into participating into one of the programs, she's right there with the government directly, and she's hearing what Sister Aisha has been telling us all along, how to become involved, first of all, because our numbers have never been there. And also, when it comes to allocating monies, if you are not, if your hands are not out, more or less to say, to receive the monies, no one is going to be looking for your hands to put the monies in. You have to be present. And ask for, and you have to do it in the way that the government will see that you are to be taken serious because of your intellect and your knowledge, and on top of that, the large number of trainees coming from our organization that is able to do this in such an intelligent way. I told you before, brothers and sisters, Sister Aisha and I said this along with Brother Aziz about a month ago. We are being proactive here. We are taking the lead. This is not something that someone is teaching us or we're learning from anybody. We're taking the lead and saving and doing something about the disasters that we know is going to happen. And Sister Aisha, you were talking about a few moments ago some of the things that are disasters and preparation we need to prepare for. But one of them that you did not mention, and I am going to mention it for you, and that preparation is death. Death itself. Many of these disasters are we know, is capable of taking your life. So again, in learning the preparedness that we talk about, that number one preparedness is learning how to survive, hopefully, the disaster. So I wanted to mention that. Also, the 2013 report, where there's only 2% of incentives that is going on as far as those, a 2% incentive as far as the growth of those who have learned about the disaster. And I think the sister was telling us overall it was only around 100,000. But as far as that increase, since 2013, sister just reported to us that the incentive rate is only 2% increase. So again, that taking the initiative and being able to not only have recoveries for our communities, but all Americans. And that takes me back to the question of what Sister Aisha was saying a moment ago about disasters have no color when it comes to poverty or someone being poor. We saw last summer the fires that went on in California. And all of those real wealthy folks, wealthy in many ways, may not have been rich, but their retirements, they were set as far as their position of stability, I would put it that way, their financial stability, they was well set. A disaster came through, took everything.
Yeah.
And these folks who were set in their stability financial situation overnight was poor, and they still, and where's the recovery coming from a person who is retired and more or less on a fixed income, and you've been doing all these plannings all these years to get to this stability, now it's all gone. So
it's all gone.
When it comes to a disaster, leaving an individual, a nation, a state, a county, or what have you, you could go to bed and the next day you could wake up in poverty. So again, this what we are about to learn, the preparedness before the disaster and the preparedness of what you do for the recovery. And as you can see, how many different agencies. My sister just went to one, and look at how impressive she was coming back delivering information to us after only one session. Now, I am saying, now how professional is she going to be after having her training? And then going back to those sessions, and how assertive will she be when she go to the session on the 27th, she won't be so inquisitive to her as it will be where she will be able to compete and be a part of because of the training. And I'm certain those folks will be assigned. And like you said, that is the recognition. You see, we're going to be each other's success in this thing. And by being intelligent, because the numbers that they need are so high, and where are they going to get these?
That's right.
Where are they going to get these numbers? So that's what I mean about I take the initiative. We're doing this for the government. So again, certainly the Louis Royce will be there, and then when we go in there, a million strong, showing that we're representing.
Right.
Not only our community, but we're ready to represent all nine or how many different awards or that we have to represent. We're ready for it. My goodness. So again, our boards are not as filled up as I would like to see them to be. But again, I know this information is just getting out there. But brothers and sisters, this is probably the most important thing that we've done, and we can't miss this one. We can't miss this one because, like you said, those disasters are going to continue to come. And our communities are already poor. But why not start with a recovery? And this is a chance to get our recovery, and this is our chance to stop what has been started years ago, and that was redlining. We know that the federal government intentionally did not want large funds of monies coming into our communities. All of that, but then they didn't think we was capable of being the leaders that we are showing, that we are known to be. So again, we can tear down all those burdens that were put on us, which is, and we know redlining is the one that was put on us, and it still exists today. But we can tear those things down. Why? Because we're not only getting the disasters relief for our own communities, but all those other millions, hundreds of thousands that natural disasters are going to affect in our community. So let me see. There was a so when it comes to the building networks, brothers and sisters, we need you. And I know I was saying, I was just telling Brother Aziz we were going to take a vacation until around the 15th of July, but we can't take a vacation now. After coming in and hearing what we have, we can't take a vacation because we can't afford to be away from hearing from folks, directing folks, because we are expecting many to start signing up and being prepared for the first session, which will be July the 16th. So, no, I guess, Brother Aziz, we are going to have to defer our vacation, because if we left at this point, there would be no any questions whatsoever, and our momentum is suddenly out there right as we speak. So, Sister Aisha, I didn't want to take too much away, but I wanted to take a lot of things that you said and put the as much emphasis that we possibly can, because enough emphasis, enough cannot be said about the importance of this training program that you are about to give us, and how and the value of it after we learn it, and have received it. So with that said, I'm going to turn it back over. Our mics are still open for your comments, but Sister Aisha, I'm turning it back to you, or I'm turning it back to those who wish to share their comments.
Brother Aziz here, I have a comment to make, and that is, and this is to the audience out there that's listening. I live in a pretty good area, and Brother Bilal lives in a pretty good suburban area we're in. We're up on the news a lot, and we get county newspapers, city newspapers, all kind of information in that. And I have not received ever or heard any notifications or just any warnings about disaster preparation as well as recovery. Nowhere have I heard this. So people wouldn't know where to go to know that something like this even, even exists, because they haven't heard that type of language other than somebody say, if a storm's coming, you better get your water together and put some food up. But if your whole house is destroyed and that way you had all your supplies in it, then what? And none of that information is out to the people about how to do that. And the government hasn't, they're not teaching you how to do anything like that. So to have someone to, to come and be in our presence and give, offer this information to us, it's a real blessing, but it's also to let you be aware of how the government, they say they're trying to help us in terms of putting monies out there and giving them to each state. However, though, when they give to the money to the state and the state has the money, as Sister Aisha said, the money's sitting there. And very few people have come and drawn that money, taken that money from, and utilized it in preparation in their community for anything, rain, snow, I was going to say, again, that shows us what Sister Aisha is showing us, and I'm sure this will be discussed nationwide also again, how lacking it is for that information to get out to the public that you absolutely need to know, and how we're blessed to be first in line getting that information. And as you said, Brother Bilal, I understand, and I'm with that too. We have to get this information and not go on vacation. And I'm absolutely positive. Nothing happened unless it's the will of Almighty God. So us African Americans, you know, whatever our religion, whatever, that are aware about the things that we need to do for survival. I don't care what you believe in. We all have the same necessities for survival when these disasters come up. So I want our audience to realize that we're thankful to have Sister Abdul Ali come and start this program for us. And the networks that it's going to be distributed to, let's hope they wake up. You know, we know it's going to be out there, and some people are going to be serious in that, but we're going to have to push this effort further on Facebook, YouTube, just over and over and over and over, because our people have got to be aware of this. And the focus is on everybody, but in particular. And that's what I wanted to say, you know. So everybody that's listening, remember, we're getting this training and this information first. It's got to be first, because if anybody that's listening have heard this type of information being furnished in their community or just on a nationwide effort, you know, please let us know. Please let us know, you know, because it's so serious that we need to know that there's somebody else that's out there that has the effort that Sister Abdul Ali is putting out in SummerTech, her organization that's furnishing this information to the New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street of Washington, D.C. This is a great thing happening. It's, whether you're atheist or a believer in the Creator, it's a godsend. So that's what I had to say for the moment. And I'm like Sister Joyce Williams. Again, thank you for your time every time you come on the show, Sister Abdul, Sister Aisha.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. And that's what I have to say right now, Brother Bilal. And I turn it back over to Sister Aisha.
Let me just say, if I might, Sister Williams, it's so important that you make notes of what you are learning and what you have learned, because what you're learning, as we have our discussions with Sister Aisha, and what you are picking up, what she's sending you to learn, we're going to need your reports. Because your reports reaffirms what we're learning from Sister Aisha, because from your reports today, and not only that, we need more representatives like you, Ms. Williams.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, remember all of these different agencies.
Absolutely.
Aisha has pointed to our attention, and that you have gone out here and learned about yourself by being a participant. We're going to have representatives in all of these agencies.
Mm-hmm.
Housing, energy, homeland security, wherever. You were going to have representatives that Sister Aisha was saying, you now are a leader. Well, we need more leaders.
Exactly.
And these leaders will be working with the sister to reinforce what she's already teaching us. So it's like almost learning a theory and of being able to apply the theory to its practicality. And so we thank you, Ms. Williams, for your report. We look forward to your continuing to report, but we also ask that you persuade and influence others to learn what you're learning so they can go to the different agencies and learn and report, and we all continue to grow together. And even myself, we also will have to become more active in learning also.
Yes.
But now we have another job to do with that, and I look at it as far as marketing. You see, even that business, you have to have all kinds in order to put your program together. And as you guys, so what everybody is doing right now is very impressive. I am I'm telling you guys, making me say stuff now to I call her Joanne. She knows who I'm talking about. But I'm confessing now. She's got me confessing to her. But sis, wonderful job. Wonderful job. You have an example of what we all need to be about learning. And we need about 100 of Joyce Williams right now to be representatives of what Joyce Williams have taken the initiative from our leader, or from her leader, to learn. So with that said, now I'm going to turn it back over to you, Sister Aisha. Not unless there's something else with comments. Anybody else with comments that haven't commented? Look like we got representatives out of Delaware. I haven't heard from Delaware in a long time. But whoever, if you have any comments, we love your comments. If not, then you can defer your comments until you are ready to comment. So other than that, Sister Aisha, I'll turn it back over to you unless we have any comments.
And I'm glad you made those comments, Brother Bilal. And I want you to know that Summit is a partner with 27 of the federal agencies in under FEMA. And what we're going to do, inshallah, is send to you all at Black Belt Wall Street the links so you can send them out to the constituent base and encourage the people to click on the link and register for the webinar. And that's how it's so simple to do, you know, to be a part and to get connected and just click on the link. And like Housing, the Veterans Administration, all of these agencies, they all receive funds for disaster preparedness and recovery. And they use it, a lot of their funds, for research studies and surveys and whatnot. However, it's incumbent upon them every year to have, I don't remember the number, I think it's at least four webinar sessions open to the public, okay? And we will send, as they, their dates are confirmed, as they set up their dates for their individual webinars, we're going to send that link to you all. So everybody that want to go to these webinars and get connected, they can do it by just clicking on the link and registering for it. Okay? So everyone will have this. And it's amazing that, FEMA was organized in 1979. And can you imagine that our community, we have heard that name FEMA, but we never delved in to find out what was going on with it. And they never come out to approach us with what they are doing. And we usually hear their names after a disaster. But they were founded in 1979 under President Jimmy Carter. Can you imagine that? It's amazing to me. That's how far ahead many other people are with disaster, and how long they have known that we were in such a major, in such major danger in this world, and in America in particular, with climate change, that we needed an agency to manage the situation of climate change in 1979. Mm-hmm. But we were not informed, and we just did not have that kind of concept. But now we do. But even though they were formed in 1979, and like I stated, I think a few weeks ago, the United Nations Committee on Disaster, the number one research and reporting agency in the world, they have for 40 years been conducting research and doing studies on climate change and disaster relief. But once again, those things, we didn't have privy to them in our circles, okay? So, but now we do. And I think it will be a wonderful thing if when you all get the link, just start sending it out. Send it out so people can become educated on the language of climate change. But the action is something else. And the action is not taking place. Many people have the intent, but they have not put forth the action, okay? And let me tell you about another study, and I mentioned it earlier. The National Institute of Mental Health conducted a study for the VA, Veterans Administration. And the study was, of course, not released to the public. It's public information because it was paid by grant, federal grants through FEMA, through the VA, and then the VA hired the National Institute of Mental Health, okay? And so all of those studies have to be published because it's public money involved. But accessing the reports and and diving into the database to find the reports, that's a whole different ball game. But they released this study and gave it to VA, and VA published it. And they stated in the study that in the past, it has been the work of successful community-based efforts based on finding community leaders, faith-based leaders, and community-based organizations, and establishing partnerships with them to promote disaster preparedness, crisis knowledge, and post-disaster service utilization. In other words, this has been their course in the past. They will seek out community-based organizations of African Americans and other ethnic groups, and they will set up partnerships with us. But the partnerships have always, the few that have been set up, and you know, most of us, we never heard of those partnerships, right? But it was always on their terms. And we were representatives sitting at the table, but we didn't have a voice because we didn't, the ones who were there obviously didn't have a voice because they didn't know what was going on. Okay. And they said that has been the success that they have had in the past. And this is in their report. And they're saying for future preparedness outreach and research should be directed towards the implementation and evaluation of the effectiveness of these and other grassroots and community-based disaster efforts in spearheading. And this is the first time I've heard them use the language spearheading. Spearheading means to take leadership. And spearheaded preparedness initiatives in advance of disaster. So they're saying that in the future, the agencies, and they were talking to the VA, the agencies, and I think this applies to all the agencies across the board, and I'm sure that we can make a case for this, for it being applicable to all the agencies, that it is through those relationships with grassroots and community-based organizations that the efforts that the community should spearhead the preparedness initiatives in advance of the disaster. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing now. We are taking ownership and leadership. Yes.
That question is for the VA. Now, that is that for someone to come up with a disaster plan, perhaps for veterans, or what would that kind of refer to, if I might ask?
Well, this was in reference to the emotional and psychological and dilemmas that the veterans were finding themselves in, especially the issue with postpartum depression among African Americans. And this organization, the National Institute of Mental Health, equated postpartum depression and other issues that the African Americans and minority veterans were having to the concept of natural disaster.
Okay.
And
okay.
Now, does and whether or not it goes further, I'm not sure. But these were the comments as a result of this report. But the significance is that the report recognized the history of grassroots communities, organizations, and the partnership that they set up with these organizations. And now they're seeing that these grassroots community-based organizations should spearhead preparedness initiatives. Okay, so they've gone from developing the partnerships in the past, and we've been at the table in whatever role we were at the table. They developed the partnership with us. Now they're saying that we should spearhead the initiatives. So to me, that says that we should be given the funds and we develop the project and the act and put the action towards the project.
Yes.
This is the position that we should, as community-based grassroots organizations, should have in this society. And that's exactly what we're doing. We are a community. We are community-based grassroots organizations, or a organization with many arms to it. And we are spearheading, we are taking the lead in this preparedness initiative for our communities. We are taking the initiative, and it's preparedness. That is an initiative in advance of a disaster. And so what they are saying, that's where the resources should be allocated, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beginning to. Did that make sense?
Yes, it absolutely does. I was going to just say, in the answer in the question, your answer is so clear. I saw where it could apply to all the other agencies too, as you were saying.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And so, of course, all of those agencies, we'll reach out to each and every one of them. And we're going to reach out by being a part of the dialogue. That's their webinars. And we're going to reach out to them. And actually, I've already started as of today. I reached out regarding the grants that would be allocated in August and September. by FEMA to every region in the country. And so we can get ahead of it. But only the grant will be allocated to local, state, and tribal organizations only. And then our organization has to make requests for grants from our local or state, okay? And it's primarily from the region. That's why I constantly go back mm-hmm. to understanding the region that you're in based on the state that you're in. And you will have access to the phone numbers and the individuals that's sitting at those desks in those regions. Okay.
Okay.
So this is the channel by which funds are allocated. Okay.
Yeah.
So is there any questions or on clarification on any of the things that I have said?
Our mics are open. Any questions for Sister Aisha? If so, you can make your questions or any comments. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Is Sister Bernie Swan, are you on today? I haven't heard from you. I want to be in touch with you because I know, Sister, you have a lot of knowledge and preparedness. And we certainly want you to be a instrumental part of this training and to help with training, be a trainer of the trainers. So if you're on tonight or if you're not on tonight and someone can get the message to you, we really would like to hear from you because you do have a lot of knowledge that you already acquired on preparedness. And we don't want to dismiss that knowledge base that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if she's on.
Again, maybe not. But let me just say that, and this is why we feel as though we can't go on vacation because I think now that this information is out there, we're going to be bringing on, I think we should be expecting, quite a few of our knowledgeable citizens that will be on the station and ready to learn and tell us just how. And so we can find out just how to use those who are ready to take leadership roles. So, and I think that's going to be happening in the near future. That's why I won't be taking a vacation because we're into the period where so many are getting our information. And I don't want to be on vacation for those who are trying to confirm information or those who have questions or who still have comments that they would like to make until after the training period because at the training period we will start training. But until then, we will be sharing information and giving you as much information to prepare you and get others ready for the training. So I guess Sister Aisha is asking if there's any other questions or any comments you'd like to make. We welcome your comments. But if not, then there's no, we don't have any wasted words here that we want to do. And I feel as though we've shared with the group that's with us tonight, we've shared quite a bit of valuable information in this session. So if there is no other comments, we will bring this to a closure.
Okay.
But again, we still have a good half an hour. If for those that still have comments or a question. So any comments or questions, we're asking you again. But Sister Aisha, we will wait until the others come on the program. And it's just a matter now of getting everyone ready for the classes. And let me just say this as far as for those of you who are on with us tonight, you will see where there is a $45 registration fee. And, of course, we know for those who signed up for the class, there is a 10% discount for those who signed up for the class and come under the BBW code. Let me just say this in addition to that. New Africa Business Association, along with Sister Aisha, we have decided that anyone... anyone, we have decided, in other words, brothers and sisters, we need numbers. Money is always a help. And I see where we do have a person who's calling in late. I do want to introduce this person. I don't know how long they've been on the phone with us, but this is a very important person, will be a very important person to us after the training is completed, and that is Miss Gina Baker. Of course, Miss Baker has been with New Africa Business Association. She incorporated us. And so she goes back with us many, many years. And she also has written many grants that has been awarded. And that's who I like talking to is the grant writers who their grants have been awarded. And she's also... a brilliant accountant. So, Miss Baker, I want to, I don't know how long you've been on with us, but we're going to have you to introduce yourself, say hi to us, and we will get a chance to say hi to you back. But Miss Baker, welcome.
Okay, yeah, I just signed on. I got a little busy with a client. My name is Gina Baker. Company is Baker Financial Services. I'm located in Dallas, Georgia, right outside of Atlanta. And I offer accounting, bookkeeping, taxes, financial consulting for small businesses.
Well, Ms. Baker, and of course, all of our business associates need your professional help. But at the moment, we are talking about, and you haven't been with us, but I'm hoping we will have you with us as much as we can in the near future so you can hear the proposals that Sister Aisha and her training methods and what we will be getting from the training. We'll speak, you maybe missed, I know you missed a lot of it in the last 3 or 4 weeks, but it's very important that that you hear all of this, most of this, of what we're proposing, especially, but anyway, I won't go through our entire program for the evening, but having you... on the program and hearing what we're doing, in the end, you will be able to give us a lot of good information on how, especially for those who are looking towards getting into grants, especially after the training, you'll be able to share a lot of good information on how to go about making the announcements and what one would expect as far as completing a grant. So we're going to we're glad to have you, and we're going to ask your participation as much as you can here on in, because we're at the point now of training. Anything, Sister Aisha, you'd like to say as far as Miss Baker? I know it might be the first time you two have spoken or meeting, but Sister Aisha, Miss Baker, and you heard what I was saying, that she's an expert when it comes to the grant writing.
Good afternoon. Good evening, Miss Baker. Thank you for joining us. And of course, I want to welcome you, but I understand that I'm the newcomer here, so I want to certainly show respect to the longevity that you have been, that I get the impression that you have been with the Blog Talk Radio and Black Belt Wall Street. So I want to thank you. And I want to let you know that, yes, we need grant writers. We need a grant writer, and we certainly always need accountants. But for this project and for this effort that we are putting forth, we're going to need a grant writer to write a lot of grants for us. And you being a part of the family and a part of the network, it makes it even better for us. So once again, I want to welcome you, and if you can tune in every Wednesday evening, you'll hear more about what we are doing. And I hope that you have the flyer of the training in disaster preparedness, and the title of, you know, climate change pre-disaster preparedness, a toolkit for survival, and the grants that we are going to have to write will be to the federal and the state agencies for disaster preparedness funds. So welcome aboard. We thank you so much.
Okay. And with that said, then, Sister Aisha, like I said, we will again, we're going to go back to you. Anyone have any comments or questions? We welcome your comments or your questions. If so, Sister Aisha, I didn't know if you had too much more that you wanted to emphasize this evening.
Pretty much it.
Yes, I would think so, and want to.
Brother Blau and Sister Aisha, before we sign off, I would like to, like you were saying, someone from Delaware, and Sister Courtney is on the call, and I know, Sister Aisha, you had spoken about involving some youth as well as some sororities and fraternities and social organizations. Well, we have a young lady on now. I know she'd like to tell us about her play, but I also want her to tell us, come on here and commit the Delaware chapter there at Delaware State University of her sorority, Alpha Kappa Alpha. So if you don't mind, we'll let Miss Courtney introduce herself as well as bring us up to date with the play, and also maybe share some information about how they can help us with our preparedness disaster training. So, Miss Courtney, are you with us? Maybe yes.
Okay,
well, maybe she's away from her phone. She just texted me and told me. She says, I'm on here, Mom. But at any rate, if she's not on tonight, we'll get her another night. We'll get her another night.
I do see a Delaware code, so maybe she could be on mute. She may have just stepped away from a second, but I do. I can't see.
Yeah, well, like I said, if it's not, we'll get her another night.
Okay, I look forward to it. And with that said,
absolutely.
And yes, I'm glad that she, because one of the things that we was, we know the play that they put on a couple months ago, I'm glad it was very successful. But I do know that our association is looking forward to seeing their play, and so there's a lot of promotion for her play in our communities. So,
well, I know they're going to be at Wicomico Theater, and I think that's in Salisbury, but I'll have to update you on the actual date.
Yes.
But they will be doing another show in Salisbury. I think it's in September, but I'll have to let you know.
Okay, well, we look forward to sharing that information and supporting our members.
Very good.
Sister Aisha, if you had anything else, or Brother Aziz, you have anything else to say in closing, we will go ahead and hear your closing. Our Sister Williams, you have anything to say in closing. You are a director. But any directors who have anything to say in closing, we welcome your comments at this time.
No, I'm satisfied. This has been a good show.
Okay, well, in that case, we will go ahead and...
I had one.
Go right ahead.
I have a question. Is it recorded? Can I listen to some of the things before that I didn't hear?
Oh, yes. You know, you can always go to our episodes.
Okay.
You know, just go to new blogtalkradio.com and go to the studio and go to episodes. And those episodes, you can go back 7 years on us. We have all of our episodes are there. So yes, but nevertheless, we look forward to your participation from here on in. So with that said, we'll be back again next Wednesday. Sister Aisha, when do you go on vacation?
In August.
Okay.
I leave around the 5th.
Oh, okay.
But don't worry about the classes, because this is a virtual world, and wherever I am, I have my computer. So it's virtual. I do training and webinars. It doesn't matter where I am, but you know.
Well, in that case, you will be back with us next week, and we will all be right here with each other. We will all be right here to answer questions or to continue to promote the training class starts. Like I said, in a lot of our information didn't go many, many places today. And a lot of announcements will be made about our preparations, our disaster preparations, will be made all over the country before this weekend is out. So hopefully next weekend we will show a huge, large participant audience, because that information will be out there. So with that said, I am going to say thanks so much for your participation. Ms. Williams, thanks so much for your participation, and thanks so much for your showing us how valuable this training is going to be, and how many agencies, once we get the training, that we will already be in communication with. And you give us a very good example tonight. And thanks. So again, following the lead of our dear sister, see that we are going to be doing something that we've never done before. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. So with that said, sisters and brothers, I am going to say good night to everyone, and next Wednesday at the same time, stay tuned.
If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? How long have you hated your white leader? Who told you you love your black preacher? Do you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? People must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. Now some of us would rather cuss and make a fuss than to bring about a little trust. But we shall overcome, I believe, someday, if you'll only listen to what I have to say. And how long have you held your white teacher? Who told you you love your black preacher? Can you respect your brother's woman friend and share with black folks not of kin? I say now people must prove to the people a better day is coming for you and for me. With just a little bit more education and love for our nation would make a better society. And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? And if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brothers? If there was no day or night, which would you prefer to be right? If you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my